Hey now, welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. March Madness officially upon us. Off to a great start this week. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We had John Rothstein on the program in the first segment. After the first segment, after Selection Sunday, we always do this. And when we do that, I'm reminded of what he loves to say, quote, "This is March." At Brian underscore C60 tweets, "This is March." Signed, vasectomy doctors to their staff. Second tweet, at Total Big E, quote, "The best part of all this college ball talk is that that loser Matt in L.A. won't call in for a few days. Bless you, Jim. Bless you." Yeah, I don't really think that his calls are so topic-driven. I don't think Matt's thinking to himself, man, I don't know jack about college basketball. I've got nothing to add to this. There's no way for me to elevate this conversation. I think I'm not going to call. I think I'll lay out until the tournament's over, and then I'll come back in. Yeah, that's not Matt. I really don't think Matt gives a damn what I'm talking about. Matt's going to Matt. Matt in L.A. is going to Matt in L.A. regardless of what we're talking about. Nice try there. Also, one more thing about a Monday. Remember the Monday, Alvin. ATP. Ask the Pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question there. I'll answer one later on. And you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. 1-800-636-8686. Let me update your call screen quickly. And another thought or two about the selection process. I said, now, number one, I thought the committee did a really nice job. You know, it's not the way it used to be where you could lay out Sunday night, Monday morning, and just hammer these guys for not knowing what the hell they were doing. They know what they're doing. They've gotten really good at it, actually. And I'm hard-pressed to find anybody who's got a really strong argument, except maybe sort of kind of Michigan State. And they're pissed. Understandably so. They just went 28-6. They just won the Big Ten tournament, and they find out they're the number two in Duke's region. Then again, I could argue, anybody who's the number two in Duke's region is going to be pissed. But it's even worse when you're Michigan State, and you see Michigan, the team that you beat three times this year, getting the number two seed in Gonzaga's region. Tom Izzo's got to be thinking, why am I and my players killing themselves to win this tournament when it really doesn't matter? The Big Ten tourney. And if they're winning that tourney and they're still being put in Duke's bracket, then that conference tournament really doesn't matter. How can it matter if they win it and they beat Michigan three times and Michigan has to deal with Gonzaga, but Michigan State's got to deal with Duke just to get to the Final Four? Again, nothing against the Zags. This is an enormous Mark Few house. You know that. But no one anywhere disputes that Duke is the overall number one now that Zion's back. So Izzo is mad and has every right to be. When you beat Michigan three times and you win the conference tournament and you get a share of the regular season title, you think you'd do better than be a seed, or you think you'd get a better draw than Michigan. They did beat them three times. In fact, is Michigan State might have even had an argument for a number one seed. And not only do they not get that, they get the toughest number two seed. But when you lose three times to Indiana and Illinois, you do open yourself up to this possibility. But you can see where they're upset, especially when you consider the fact that Michigan State, and this is an unbelievable stat, Michigan State is 1-11 against Duke since Tom Izzo took over. So that stings a lot. Now, that said, if you want to talk Selection Sunday traditions, there's one new one and one old one that were both electric yesterday. Let me start with Bobby Hurley in Arizona State. Remember last year when the Sun Devils got in, Hurley and his team sprinted out back and they jumped in the pool.
Yeah!
That is still one of the greatest Selection Sunday celebrations ever. One of my favorites of all time. And then this year, with the team on the bubble, Hurley goes back to work. They didn't just ignore the bubble. They embraced the bubble with Bobby posing for a bubble machine. Buy a bubble machine for Twitter. My man. Man, he is working it. He gets it. He said afterwards he tried to make sure that everybody was in the same seats, even that he was wearing the same socks. And then came the announcement. Another huge celebration, but there was no jumping in the pool. Nobody jumped in the pool on that, which is a sign of how far that program has come. You don't need to cannonball your way into the tournament. So another great, great celebration, but different. Now, when it comes to Selection Sunday traditions, nothing is going to top the annual sit-down with John Calipari. You know how this goes. Cal sits down in front of the camera and lets the world know about how the committee made it personal and about how the committee hurt his kids because they were looking to hurt him. And honestly, there are definitely years where it felt like he had a point. And he had a point yesterday, but it was not about the committee coming for him. It was about him coming after recruits. Did you check his living room yesterday? Look at this. If you're watching on TV, you should see it. And if you're not, you should go find it. That's just Cal casually having a conversation in front of a bunch of framed jerseys of all the legends that he's coached at Kentucky. He's talking about, well, honestly, I've got no idea what he's talking about. It doesn't even matter what he's talking about. It doesn't matter what he was talking about because nobody was listening. Everybody was looking at all the framed jerseys of DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall, Anthony Davis, Derrick Rose, right behind him. He had them all set up in his living room by the fireplace. And I love how casual the whole thing was, or was supposed to be. Not only were the frames not hung on the wall, they were still wrapped in plastic, like he had just gotten back from the frame store at the mall and hadn't had time to pick them up yet. You know, and when they're all there, they're just begging for a question about them. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Looks like you got some new artwork. What's going on? Pick up a new, few new prints before the interview? Oh, you mean those things? Yeah, glad you asked about those things. Those are just some of the jerseys of some of the guys that I used to coach. You know, Boogie, John, AD, Derek. Maybe you've heard of them. They've been to, I don't know, maybe 1,000 All-Star games. Collectively, they've made about $1 billion. I think some of these guys might even be Team USA players. You've heard of Team USA, right? That's when guys are so good that they get to go to the Olympics. You know, whatever. Not a big deal. Nothing new. It's what you already know. It's what you already know and what I'm trying to project. That if you want to be a lottery pick, then you come here. If you want to be a gold medalist, then you come here. If you want to be both a lottery pick and a gold medalist, you know where to sign your name. You think this is bad? You think this is bad? Hey, can you get the camera guy to pan out? Pan out. Go look at my bedroom. Look at my office. Look at my garage. Look at our kitchen. Hell, this crib is a freaking shrine to what I have built. I know I've got a Devin Booker in here somewhere. Same with Kevin Knox, Julius Randle, Marcus Camby. You know Marcus Camby's in here. At least I think I do. I'm starting to run out of space. I know I had an Eric Bledsoe jersey at some point. I think I've got Tyreke Evans in the garage. Jamal Murray. My man's 18-5. With the Nuggets every single night, and I don't even have space for him. I don't know. I mean, hell, you know I've coached a lot of NBA players. What was your question again? Who cares about the question? The whole interview was about what he was not saying with his words, but about what he was saying with the interior design. It was incredible. You know, just casually dropping names without even mentioning names. If anybody else did what Cal did, it would be the cheesiest, corniest thing ever. But when Cal does it, it's the most Cal thing ever, and I love it. I mean, it's amazing. Truly next level Cal. Always be recruiting. Always be closing. Keep doing you, Cal. Keep doing you, Cal. And don't ever let Rex in the ABQ, or anybody else for that matter, poop in your ice cream.
There's a bucket of poop and there's a bucket of ice cream. You can put all the ice cream in that poop that you want. It doesn't change it. But one little pinch of that poop in that ice cream ruins that ice cream. And I'll tell a guy, you, my man, are the poop in our ice cream.
That never not makes me laugh. And I'll tell a guy now, you, my man, are the poop in our ice cream. You know, people talk about buckets. You got a bucket for this, bucket for that, bucket for this, bucket for that, bucket for poop, bucket for ice cream. You, my man, are a pinch of poop in my ice cream. It's a great analogy. I mean, he's moved on to other analogies, but there really is not a better analogy. I mean, who doesn't love a good double scoop of mint chocolate chip? Until somebody sneaks in a pinch of poop. Like Tom Izzo. I think that somebody had a bucket of poop on his double scoop of ice cream. He was not happy.
Win the regular season in the tournament and get not even get the number one, two seed. Does that surprise you? You've been honest in the past saying when you thought we got what we deserved.
Yes, I have. And for a couple of years now, including 16, I don't think we did. But today, I don't care. You know, the problem is that I'm upset about is I just don't think they looked at 20 game schedule. We played more than any other conference. And but wherever they want me to play, it hasn't been easy all year. If they want me to play outside, I'll play outside. If they want me to play, it don't matter to me anymore. I'm not going to worry about it, but I am going to worry about it a little bit for our conference. You know, this is supposed to be the toughest conference in the country, right? Everybody's saying it for 20 games. Everybody's saying it. But it is what it is.
It is what it is. And when he says he's not going to worry about it, he's going to worry about it. He's not happy. I don't blame him. He's like looking at the committee and says, you, my committee, are the poop in the ice cream. The thing is, though, he has to eat it. He has to eat it. That's his cone, and he has to eat it. So we'll see.
Eat it, Hud.
Eat it, Tom. He deserved better. Yeah, I deserve better than that, Alvin. If you're Tom Izzo and you win that conference tourney and you get a share of the conference championship and you beat Michigan three times, maybe you should not have to deal with Duke and Michigan should or somebody else. Ed Zimzy tweets, what a wonderful thing to hear that Dadgum Roy and his Tar Heels are again favored for a deep NCAA tournament run. Signed, a decade of fake classes. John Rothstein came in, as he always does after Selection Sunday, and he's picking North Carolina to win the entire thing. He's got them over Duke in the championship game. All right, then. It's like a short timeout. Don't go anywhere. Today's a good day. Hey, any day that we wake up on the right side of the dirt is a good day, but especially today. Coming off Selection Sunday, good interviews, good calls, great takes by me. And Matt Nelly's not calling, right? As that person said, it's college basketball. Matt's not going to call. So that means the phone line is open. The Matt line is open, right? He's not going to call. 1-800-636-8686. Next hour, the head basketball coach at Fairleigh Dickinson, Greg Herenda. And when we come back, I want to get into the Lakers and the Knicks. That's still ahead.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Lakers, Knicks, my thoughts coming up. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today. get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. That said, this tweet reads, and this is TFP Will Eat, the Lakers season started off strong, sputtered through the middle, and just stopped trying at the end. Regards, Hawks Marathon Training. That's a really good tweet. And Adam, you can go ahead and put your headphones on if you don't mind. That tweet is in response to a tweet from Adam Hawk over the weekend, which you may have seen. And it's Hawk teeing it up. And the tweet reads, LA Marathon in 7 days. Got some great training in this weekend. And it's Hawk teeing it up. It's on a course, golf course in La Habra somewhere. All right, so Adam, when I checked in with you on Friday, your take was, I have not run in 10 days, but I'm going to get in a long run this weekend. Judging from this tweet, you did not run, did you?
No, I did not run. I ran from my golf cart to the beer shack at the turn to grab another beer for the back nine, but that was the only running I did this weekend, Jim.
When was the last time you had a run?
14 days ago. It was Sunday of 2 weekends ago. So 14 or 15, depending on if you count today as a day.
So literally nothing. Not like a long run, you know, a half marathon. I mean, not even like a 3 or 4 mile run. Like literally you have not put your running shoes on in 2 weeks.
No, that is deadly accurate. I have not put on my running shoes in 2 weeks, no.
So what's going on here?
I've just completely resigned to the fact that I want my next run to be the marathon because I'm so over this crap. It is daunting. It is annoying. It takes a lot of time. It's not like...
Right, Hawk, it's a marathon.
Right, but it's not like you're going to the gym for 45 minutes or whatever to put some weights up. Like, to train adequately for this, you have to go put the time in. You got to be out there for 2 to 3 hours, and I'm sick of it. I'm over it, and I don't want to do it anymore. So my next run will be the marathon, and I made that decision this weekend when my friends called and said, do you want to go golf? And I said, yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I'm like, why would I train for a marathon? Hey, look, I understand this. I myself have not committed to running a marathon. It's, you know, challenging enough to commit to 60 minutes of workout every single day, 45 minutes every single day. I feel you, but hadn't you factored all of this in? I mean, after all, it is a marathon.
Yeah, I just completely gassed out, flamed out. I'm a mental midget, if you will. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. Nothing about the prospect of going out and training appeals to me, especially since there's no medal or glory at the end. So I figured the next run will be the one with the medal and the glory.
It's really a bad, bad plan. Have you done any research at all, and probably best that you not, however, have you done any research as to what happens to an individual? In fact, I'll open it up to Marathon Nation because they've come in before. Have you done any research to find out what happens if you are in no way prepared to run that distance and then you show up day of trying to run that distance?
Yeah, I've done some, and obviously the internet can provide you whatever results you're looking for. So I have gone down the rabbit hole of positive affirmation. I am reading blogs from people that went with no training and finished successfully. I have avoided the blogs where people say that they went with no training and they ended up...
dead?
Well, worse than dead, because at least you're dead and you don't have to deal with the embarrassment. The people that wind up ejecting their bowels around mile 14... If you will.
Right.
Yeah. So those are the ones that I've avoided. I'm just looking at the people who are like, yeah, I finished in 5 hours and put my sticker on the car and got out of there.
What is the longest run you have ever taken in training?
13.1. And I did that twice. Two halves. The last one I did 2 weeks ago was a half, and I did one before that. So as I told my dad yesterday, who asked me how it was going, now I just got to do that. I'm going with it.
One word for you. Cheat. Cheat. Dude, you're not finishing that thing. Just cheat. What could happen? You'll never get caught. Cheat.
I might cheat.
Dude, I want you. This is a world-class athlete, and you're a world class. Not really training that much, and just showed up and... ...self, Goggins. Just keep pumping that through your veins until this weekend, and maybe you'll be able to visualize it. And when you talk about excrement, you know, this was a guy who was pretty much pooping himself on a plastic chair and kept going. Busted shins, the whole thing.
You have a big dump in your
Go pan. Listen to the episode. That was ep number, let me think.
Hold on.
I want to say ep number.
I'm going to throw out a guess that it was 35.
35 or 25. Whatever. 25. I'm right, you're wrong. Whatever it was, man, just listen to that. On an endless loop until it's time to run, and you'll be so geeked up and so full of it, you'll turn your attitude around. Or just don't do it, Adam. Man, just fall on the sword.
It's $190. I'm doing it. I'm going to listen to Goggins because I kind of fancy myself a, you know, a David Goggins. So I'm going to...
How? Why?
We're very similar.
What do you have in common with Goggins?
Mental
what
tenacity.
What do any of us have in common with Goggins? He's the baddest man alive. Not named Jocko.
Or me. So, yeah, I'm going to just crush David Goggins' podcast and go run this thing on Sunday. Yep.
What's the wife think about this? Is she so upset?
She has no opinion, really. She's kind of thinks
Oh, she
that,
does. Yeah, she does.
She thinks that I should have never signed up in the first place. That's her take, that it was a dumb thing to sign up. And that when I did sign up, she was 4 months pregnant. So that excuse is terrible on my part that it was because we had a kid.
If you punk out and don't do it, will she be relieved or will she be disappointed?
I believe that she would be neither. Honestly, she has so little interest in what I'm doing outside of parenting right now. She just wants me to take the baby when I get home. Like, this whole marathon thing is kind of worse for her than it is for me. She's not excited
that
I'm going to
leave. It's worse for me than it is for both of you.
Right. She's not that thrilled that I'm going to leave on a Sunday all day to drive up to Los Angeles to run from Dodger Stadium to Santa Monica. She would much rather me be at the house helping out.
Yeah, but wait until when you're done with whatever you do, be it 13 miles, 20 miles, whatever it is. She's going to have to care for three babies.
That's right. And she's also concerned that she's going to have to make the drive up to come pick me up because she's worried that I'm not going to be able to drive home.
It's going to go badly. All right. Hey, best of luck, man. Let me know how it goes. All right. So if you are somebody who does this type of work, what's this guy in for? Lay it out. Hawk doesn't want to hear it, but Hawk needs to hear it. He's run two halves in preparation of this, and then that's it. He's never run farther than 13.1. He hasn't run at all in 2 weeks, and now says, screw it, man, I'm so over it. I hate this. I'm showing up day of, and I'm going to let it rip. How is that going to go for Hawk? If you're somebody who does run, go ahead, hit me up, 1-800-636-8686, or just shoot me a tweet. At GoonerBear17 tweets, just get a relay crew to run a stretcher alongside Hawk. They'll need it eventually. Pauly T. Wall, got some good news and some bad news. Good news, you aren't fat anymore. Bad news, you're still dumb. Signed, Hawk's doctor at his annual checkup. Yeah, you can't do anything about dumb. We're coming right back. Open phones in hour number two. So hit that. Hit the NCAA tournament selection process. Hit the brackets. Give me your final four. Or just wait on my Laker-Knicks take because that's coming up next. Before we get there, though, I do owe you a sports update. Here is the latest. Tournament action tips off tomorrow. CBS Sports Network is ready to bring you in-depth analysis of the Field of 68 and take a look at who has a chance to win it all. Do not miss NCAA March Madness Bracket Breakdown tonight, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Beaks in Studio City tweets, Warhawk using the Wii Fit to train for said marathon. I don't even think he's doing that. Levy Pants 07 tweets, Rome, Hawk is toast. His longest run was 13. What a damn joke. If you haven't worked up to 20-mile training runs, you're not ready. Hawk will make it to mile 17 and then need a stretcher. Nate in Grand Rapids.
Toast.
I feel like Hawk's one of those guys who stepped in against Mike Tyson in his prime. And like, yeah, man, I made it to the 7th round. Like, there's no shame in that. At least he didn't blow me out in 15 seconds. Yeah, I made it to the 3rd round with Mike. That'll be Hawk like at mile 5. I made it to the 5th mile. Adam D. tweets, hey, Mr. Hawk, I'll be there running the marathon. Just follow me and you'll make an amazing time. Signed, Mrs. Manziel. All right, so back to something from Friday. We had 6 calls run. six calls got run in a row, and I thought that was a jungle record. I wasn't sure, but I said, let's go to the guy who would know, Stucknut. And Stucknut, I think, confirmed that it was a jungle record. But then he doubled back, did his research, and Stucknut tweets, update. On June 4th, 2015, the clones went on a singing suicide mission, and nine straight callers got LT'd. That's the jungle record. The current run streak is at six. At I'm Adam Hawk, your legacy is on the line. All right, so we have not taken a phone call yet. The streak, it's not, the streak is the streak. It's not consecutive calls run in a single program, although apparently, according to Stucknut, it was nine that day. I'm here to say the streak is the streak, and it can't jump the day. It can't jump the weekend. So the number is at six. We got up to six on Friday. In case you missed it, it started with Parody Larry.
Hawk is eating way too much high as he's training for the big race, but the pigeon won't lie. His back will give out, and then he'll lay down and cry, thinking this could be the day that I die. At least he's going to give it a try.
That's one. This guy was an obvious lock for two.
Unfortunately for me, I got the guy who decides he's going to sell me some knockoff Hugo Boss cologne and sprayed it right in my face. This crap smelled like anal gland discharge.
That makes two. I like Liz in Falls City, but I have no idea what the hell she was thinking when she made this call.
It's led to inspiring the Jungle's very own Toby in Houston to produce his own documentary, and it's going to be called Leaving a San Antonio Locker Room, starring Larry Brown's crank.
Good one, Liz. Jason in Harrisburg extended the streak to four.
The Northern Sando, consisting of bread on bread, with just a very little moose knuckle slammed in between.
That'll get you run. Casey in Pensacola, looking to snap the streak, instead extended the streak. Casey, what's up? That makes five. No. And who called back? None other than Casey.
Kids in the school the old-fashioned way, like Forrest Gump's mom did, by banging the principal.
And that makes six. And that's where the show ended. Yes, Casey and Pensacola got run twice. But that makes six. And I thought that was the record. I thought we'd walk off on that record until Stucknut did a deep dive to 2015 and realized it's not the record. The record is nine. So a number of you on Twitter have been asking about that. The next call would make it seven. Let's find out. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Calgary. Bob in Calgary. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Hey, Rome, I think Hawk's going to be just fine.
Why?
You know why?
No, Bob, I have no idea why. Why?
Because I once saw a horse, they just tied a stick and a carrot in front of him, and he ran 10 kilometers and still had the time to tape Sex in the City later on that day.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Bob. You know, they'll say what they'll say about you, Bob, and generally what they say is you're a moron. But at least they can't call you a one-trick pony. And that makes seven. Hey, listen, you know what this is? The problem with this, now you've got idiots on kamikaze missions. This is like Brett Favre falling down so Mike Strahan could get that sack record. You have to earn this record legitimately. Those other calls that I had, like Larry, he really tried, and he got run. You know, Rex does what Rex does. But Liz thought she'd get racked. Liz was sitting back thinking, oh, this is my golden ticket. This is really good. Jason Harrisburg thought he was funny. They were not people intentionally trying to get run to get the record. But then again, that's what Bob does all the time too, right? What I'm saying is, if you're number eight or you're number nine, don't be doing that.
Don't say something or do something to get intentionally run. That record's got to count for something. It's got to count for something. Let me communicate something to you, Adam Hawk, just so you know. Probably not your fault because I know we're having a few issues. The last caller's name did not come up, but I can see it now. Just me communicating with the EP. All right, so now we're at 7. I'm not taking this guy because he's been running the past and I want some contrived record. I'm not doing that. This guy is on topic. This guy has experience. I said, I want to hear from somebody who has run a marathon or more and tell me how deep Hawk is in it. He's run 13-1 twice. He hasn't run in 2 weeks. He's going to show up day of the LA Marathon. I want to know what's going to happen to Hawk. Does he have any shot whatsoever? The streak is at 7. The all-time record is 9. Jeff in SoCal. Jeff, how are you?
Rome, I'm great. Hey, you know that saying, when someone starts a sentence with, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but that someone's about to be disrespected. Well, Jim, I'm going to start this call by saying, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but your boy Adam Hawk is absolutely bleeped for this Sunday. Jim, I've actually run 6 of these LA marathons. And Hawk, I think you should start your Marathon 2K19 playlist with the banger, Time to Die, because my main... You may actually die. Jim, do you know why they give guys like Hawk those marathon bibs? It's so the first responders can identify the body. I mean, Hawk, you're not going to make it, my man. But here's my analysis. You know, I'm thinking maybe 5.5-6 hours. And if you do make it to, you know, mile 13, which you've trained to, that's sunset in La Brea, Hawk. You're still 13 miles from Santa Monica Pier. I wouldn't even drive that. Okay, so let's say he makes it to mile 21, and this is San Vicente all the way down Brentwood through Santa Monica. And this is where it's really going to hit the fan for Hawk Romy. I mean, I've seen people cramp up, get ambulance, people collapse. Dude, a 28-year-old had a heart attack in 2015. But don't take it from me. Take it from the LA Times. 4 LA Marathon participants suffer potentially life-threatening medical problems. Jim, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Hawk running the L.A. Marathon without training is the worst idea since showing up to a party with a boner and sweatpants. I mean, this
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
That worked for everybody, right? I mean, I got the analysis that I needed. That's a guy who's run the marathon. I had no idea he even ran marathons. When I think of Jeff in SoCal, all I think about is one guy who calls about the WNBA and gets run every single time. I had no idea that this guy had any outside interests other than the WNBA. But he's run 6 marathons. He walked the walk. He talked the talk. He seemed to have an idea. He knew the course. And he laid out what's going to happen to Hawk. And he talked about some other examples. Tragic examples. But then he did what he does. And he gave you clones what you wanted. Number 7. That makes 7 now. The record is 9. Is that 8? My bad. That's 8. You're one away from tying the record. 1-800-636-8686. The weird part, and I want to check myself here, Hawk, I don't want to get too heavy, but I don't want to make light of this in the event that you actually do die, and then everybody could come back and say, yeah, his host... His boss was having a good old time, and now he's one of the pallbearers. Hawk, I know you're all about content and doing what's good for the show. You dropping dead is not good for the show, because then I have to take every phone call. Now, that would not be good. That does concern me, that just showing up and doing that could be life-threatening, life-altering, life-ending. Dude, pull out. Just quit. Shame will not kill you. You might wish you were dead, but you wouldn't actually be dead. All right, so Jeff at SoCal says, I've done this thing 6 times. You can't do that. You can't just show up and not train, or train to the 13-mile mark and then not train any further. Anybody else? Does anybody have a background in this? Don't concern yourself with the streak. Listen to the show. Make the call if you want to make the show. But don't think about the streak. Don't think about the streak being at 8. Don't think about the streak being the all-time record is 9 of run calls. Think about the show. Do you want to respond to anything you're hearing? 1-800-636-8686. Let's see. I'm not seeing anybody who I think is going to make this show better. Keep calling. Stay on it. The record is 9. Matt in Vancouver's in. He's in shape. He'll probably have something to offer. Hey, Rome, I'll give Hawk a buyout if $80 if he just skips this nonsense and leaves it to the real marathon dorks. All right. Hawk, you keep saying it's about the money. $190. He'll buy you out at less than 50 cents on the dollar. So then you're in at $110. Matt, his response, and I quote, go to hell. Hawk, you'll be there. You'll be in hell right around mile 2. All right, so there was an offer. This guy offered to buy Hawk out of it. I don't know what's worse. Like, one of you might, hell, I could. I could step up, chip this guy off a couple of bennies. What would look worse? Hawk has endured a lot of shame and a lot of embarrassment. Even worse is me dangling it as a carrot, which may not actually exist. Like, Adam, if I were to say to you, if I gave you $200 to walk right now, would you? Do you know what this dope just said to me? So not only do you get out of debt, you make money on it. I actually was going to reward you for being a slacker. I said, Adam, if I were to give you $200 and you could walk right now, would you? His response, and I quote, $500. How about this, Hawk? You finish that marathon or you're fired. That's my counter. $500. You know what? You're on your own, bro. I just offered you $200 and you said $500. You're on your own. Whatever happens, happens. Hey, Jim. Heard my name just now on the show when you were talking about Hawk running a marathon. Man, he is going to be so Thor. Sign Mike Tyson. Thor? Like Thor legs? Like Thor feet? Mike, that was not me. Mike, that was this idiot Mike in Buffalo. Mike, I did not say that. Mike admitted that he wanted to kill me once. And I'm glad that I got on the right side of Mike. Mike, that was not me. That was Mike in Buffalo. Third hour's next.